We'd like to welcome our worldwide radio audience to the regular worship of the Main Street Church of Christ. If you'd open your Bibles with me this morning to Hebrews 11:6. Hebrews 11:6. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him, to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is. You got to believe that God is God and that there is a God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is. But you got to believe something else too. The demons also believe and tremble. The demons believe that God is. You've got to believe that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. That he keeps his word. That's a big step in faith. If you can believe that God keeps His Word, you're on the right track. You're on the absolutely right track if you stick to His Word. The Bible teaches in Hebrews 11:1, now faith is the substance, and that word there is subsistence, it's platform, it's foundation. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. Now, the word hope in the English language today, some of you no doubt bought a lottery ticket last night in spite of me warning you. In spite of me warning you, I've told many of you don't buy a lotto tickets, but in spite of me warning you, some of you bought a lotto ticket last night in hope of winning the lottery. And there's nobody in here dancing this morning. I don't see anybody dancing. So I don't think anybody won the lottery last night. And so that's not the Bible kind of hope. The Bible word for hope is assurance. It's like you know that this thing is going to happen. Now, faith is a substance of things, and you've got assurance, man. God has told us in His Word, we're a believer of those that diligently seek Him. He's a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. We've got assurance from Him. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. The evidence, there'll be some evidence if you've really got this Bible kind of faith, there'll be some evidence of things not seen. In 1 John 5:14, it says, now this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. Lord, let me win the lottery. No chance of Him hearing that. Because He's told us by the sweat of your brow, are you going to bring forth bread? You're going to have to work to get what you're going to get in life. And if you get it and it's a free ride and somebody gives it to you or the government gives it to you, you're not going to respect it. You're not going to have any respect for it at all. This is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. Came to this church 22 years ago. About 15 years ago, I started preaching. Maybe 16, 17 years ago, I started preaching here. And there was about 40 of us left, and most of those were seniors. Some of you have been here for the whole rodeo, Martha Burnett and Sister Betty Young. And who else has been here for the whole rodeo? Jordy. Jordy's been here. Diane Van Hooser's been here for the whole rodeo. And so I told the church, I said, here's the choice that y'all got. Y'all can just give me a salary and pay me what preachers get paid. I can take a vacation every year, go Hawaii or somewhere, and drive a new Cadillac. Or we could take that money and we could get on the radio to North Texas, find an inexpensive radio station and get on the radio to North Texas, and I will take just my expenses, my lights, water, gas. if we start feeding the poor. And we had already begun feeding the poor. We were feeding about 20 people after church every Sunday. And so the Main Street Church of Christ is an all-volunteer inner-city church, congregation of the Churches of Christ, with a contribution of between $1,000 and $1,500 a week. Nevertheless, we're dedicated to feeding the poor and preaching the gospel to all the world. And so I'm going to give you a little report now on last year's results. Our Christmas celebration was a most wonderful and exciting day. We purchased 400 slices of turkey breast, and we made 8 large commercial pans of dressing, thanks to our kitchen staff, to Larry and John and all of you guys that work in the kitchen down there. Those are the full-time. There are a lot of part-time people that help us also. We made 8 large pans of commercial dressing. We made 8 pans of fruit salad and 8 sheet cakes, which were served by the Segaville Youth Group, who also bought shoe boxes of hygiene and stuff. Greenville Avenue Church of Christ brought a U-Haul truck full of clothes and blankets and coats and stuff like that, shoes and more shoe boxes. And so all of that was given away last Sunday. And in the last 3 weeks prior to Christmas, we gave away an SUV and a pickup truck full of toys to kids. And there's some kids and families sitting in here right now today that got some toys for their kids and for needy kids in the old East Dallas area. We began feeding about 20 people after church on Sunday, and now we feed about 150,000 meals a year, about 3,000 a week. I added it up, it's in your bulletin, about 2,950 meals a year. And so we're back now to chicken soup with rice and bologna sandwiches. All the chicken and turkey and dressing and all that stuff's gone. No more chicken cordon bleu and a pink chablis, none of that stuff. We're back to chicken soup. We have an organization that we work with that's called Second Harvest. And after the harvesters have gone through the fields, they allow them to go through and glean the fields and get what the harvesters miss. And so they take those vegetables and dehydrate those, and we buy those dehydrated from them. And Chipotle's saves us their leftover chicken on the line. They freeze it, they quick freeze it, and they bring it to us frozen. And so we make chicken soup, adding this vegetables and adding rice to it. And so we're feeding. Each week we make pots, big 5-gallon pots of soup and bologna sandwiches. We started out on one little radio station, and the devil got so mad at him that he went broke. Now you got to bear in mind, when we started this, it was 40 of us, and we were under a lawsuit for $120,000 from some flim-flam men who had pulled a con on the previous administration of this church. And we were about to lose the property, and nobody was interested in helping us at all. We're on the radio at 11 a.m. and at 5 p.m. on 1630 a.m. radio. But God has blessed us to 16 more radio stations. We're on Radio Abilene at 12 noon, Radio Searcy, Arkansas at 12 noon, at simulcast on 3 stations. We're on Radio Oklahoma City at 11 a.m. now. We're on Radio Kansas City, which covers most of Kansas and Missouri, and we're on there from 11:30 to 12:30, and then again at 5:30 in the evening. We're on Radio Mobile, Alabama. We're simulcast there on 2 stations. Radio Pensacola, Florida. Radio Shreveport, Louisiana. Augusta, Georgia, Albuquerque, Santa Fe, New Mexico, and Nashville, Tennessee. We're on a 50,000 watt station. That's a huge blaster. Most stations are 10,000 watts. It's a 50,000 watt station serving most of Tennessee, Kentucky, and Alabama. And then we're on Worldwide Christian Radio. And we're currently broadcasting to between 7 and 10 billion people in our broadcast area on shortwave radio, covering all the U.S. at 1 a.m. in the morning, and then again we rebroadcast at 8 a.m. in the morning, all the U.S., Canada at midnight, Mexico at midnight, and 7 a.m., South America, all of Eastern Europe, Ukraine, all of the entire earth. The 1 o'clock broadcast reaches the entire earth. By the time you get to China, it's 3 or 4 o'clock in the afternoon. By the time you get to Australia, it's 5, 6 o'clock in the afternoon. New Zealand is like 6, 7 o'clock at night. But we cover the entire earth at this 1 a.m. broadcast. And then we again broadcast at 8 a.m., and it reaches all the way over here to Plus, Russia. And as the sun sets, we lose back to half of India. So we get all of Europe, all of Africa, all of South America, all of North America, Greenland, the Pacific. We get all of that in that second broadcast also. We now have an opportunity with Madagascar Radio, and I want to ask your prayers about this. We have an opportunity for about $300 a month to get in on the start from day one with World Christian Broadcasting, which is a Church of Christ organization that will begin broadcasting in 2015 from the island of Madagascar in the Indian Ocean. And that's right here. This map will be out front next week. You can look at it. I've got it circled in red. In its broadcast area, I've got with these red arrows. And so its broadcast area covers all of Africa, all of South America. It misses only North America. It covers all of South America, Africa, Europe, Ukraine, Russia, all of the Pacific, all of China, Mongolia, all of the Pacific Islands. We've got a chance to again broadcast to about 80% of the world's population. And so they'll have 4 to 5 billion people in their broadcast area. While we in the United States mainly listen to AM, FM radio stations, the rest of the world listens to shortwave radio. It's estimated that there are between 2.5 and 3 billion shortwave radios in the world today, and at any one time, 1 billion of those shortwave radios are turned on, and gathered around that radio are three people. So they estimate that all times that there are about 3 billion people in the world listening to radio. You just have to imagine how it is in a little village in the Congo where there is 20 people that's got radios, and when you turn on the radio, everybody in the house comes and listens. It's the only news they got. They don't have a TV. They don't have a big screen TV. They don't know what these things are. And so at any one time, there's about 3 billion people listening to shortwave radio. Last month in your bulletin, if you could open to the page that shows countries, I want to talk to you about this for a minute. We had 67 foreign countries visit our website. How did they know about the little old Main Street Church of Christ in Dallas, Texas? How did they know about us? Well, they had to heard about us from shortwave radio. We don't advertise in China. I mean, we don't have any ads in the newspaper over in China. We don't have any ads on TV over in China. But our number one foreign country, 995 people came from China, 970 from Brazil. Now, I can look at these K-bytes, and I can tell you what these people are doing. I can tell whether they're listening to sermons or whether they're downloading written lessons. And I'm telling you now, I'm thrilled to tell you that they're mainly downloading written lessons out of China. They're listening to some sermons, but not a lot. They're mainly downloading written lessons. The same thing in Brazil. When you go on your computer in China, our written lessons is in Chinese. When you go on your computer in Brazil, our written lessons is in Spanish. Wherever you're at in the world, the Russian Federation, 663 people came. Italy, 380. The European Union, 264. Germany, 262. Educational systems. From schoolhouses, people maybe on their lunch break or whatever, they went on their computers and came to the Main Street Church of Christ website. Nonprofit organizations, 166. United Kingdom, which is Great Britain, 162. A nice couple sent me a card, a get well card from England. How would they even know I was sick? I didn't get up here and talk every Sunday about me being sick with cancer. They had to go on the website and read the bulletin to even know that I was sick with cancer. People from the Czech Republic, 113. Moldova, 105. Portugal, 105. Ukraine, 93. India, 84. U.S. military, 83. Argentina, 83. Canada, 78. A guy called me from Canada, and he was so far in the sticks, he had chickens in his living room. I'm not kidding you. He had chickens in his living room. I had another guy call me from Canada, and he sung to me a Christian song in French. Part of Canada speaks French. I'm sure the government would close down the whole the government buildings if they knew it, but 76 people in government buildings came to us. 73 people from Romania, 70 from Finland, 56 from the United States territories, like Guam, Portugal, places like that. 54 from Colombia, 36 from Australia, 33 from Nigeria, 31 from Ghana, and 30 from Poland. Now that's less than half of the people who came. Our monthly website statistics in December, the total hits for the year, we had 1,091,772 hits. That's absolutely amazing because we suffered a denial of service attack a year ago, and our website was down most of January and all of February, and we lost all our audience. And we lost all our Google ratings. Those of you that are young know what that means. You get Google ratings. In other words, if you Google Church of Christ, the most popular goes to the top. Well, if you're off the air for a month, you're off the air for 2 months, you lose all your ratings. So we had to start all over again. And so to be back up again to 1 million hits a year, is absolutely amazing. We had 76,229 hits in December. We had 5,514 home worship sites. We downloaded 19,573 sermons. Our web home worship sites, again, was 514. And websites and the people that visited and downloaded was another 1,564. And so, what does the Bible say now? Let's go back to our verses. Hebrews 11:6. For without faith it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and he's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. We can look all around us and see the rewards that he's given us. He's let us build a church here. He's let us grow in manners that no man could do this. There isn't enough money to hire this. Only God could do this. Hebrews 11:1 says, for faith is the substance of things hoped for. There'll be substance to it. The evidence of things not seen. If you've really got faith, there'll be evidence of it. There'll be real evidence. You'll be able to see it. And I'm telling you now, in this report, you can see it. The evidence of things not seen. And then we're told in 1 John 5:14, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. Now we know that he cares about the poor. Bernie read it this morning in the Lord's Supper, Psalms 41. Blessed is he that considereth the poor. The Lord will be with him in a time of trouble. We know he cares about the poor. And we know he cares about preaching the gospel to all the world because he told us to do it. Mark 16:15, put that up please. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Now 1 John 5:14 says, and this is the confidence we have in him, if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. Is God willing that we feed more people? Yeah. Is God willing that we preach the gospel to more people? Yeah. Let's ask him. Let's go to the Father in prayer. Almighty God, King of the universe, we pray, Father, that you make it possible that we can have this station in Madagascar. We pray possible that you might put us on other stations where we would be of a benefit to the kingdom of God, and send your plan and in your foreknowledge that you would have us do. We pray that you give us more hungry people that we can feed. We pray that you make all these things possible. We pray that you double all our efforts in this year, 2015. It's in Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you turn with me now in your Bibles to Jeremiah, the 25th chapter, verse 11, we're going to study Daniel's 70 weeks of years. And we're going to have to hurry because I got long-winded about that. We'd like to ask our radio audience to visit the Church of Christ nearest your home or go to our website at www.mainstreet-churchofchrist.com. For free downloadable a cappella singing, all kinds of written lessons, and fair to middling gospel preaching. Jeremiah 25:11. And this whole nation shall be a desolation. God is sick and tired of these Jews burning their babies to Baal. He's sick and tired of their false religion and their false worship. God is sick and tired of it. And so he says, and this whole nation, there's my doctor that saved my life. Thank you, Doc. God bless you. Dr. Wilcox, let the church say amen. He He's my radiologist that saved my life. Thank you very much. And this whole land shall be a desolation and an astonishment. And these nations shall serve the king of Babylon 70 years. And it shall come to pass when 70 years are accomplished that I will punish the king of Babylon and that nation, saith the Lord, for their iniquity. And the land of the Chaldees will I make it a perpetual desolation. And so God says that the Jews are going to go into captivity and they're going to serve the king of Babylon for 70 years. Now in Jeremiah 29:10, for thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good words towards you in causing you to return to this place. Now the first captivity, when Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came against Jerusalem, was in 606 B.C. And he took Daniel and a lot of the princes and all the high-born people of the nation and took them into captivity in 606 B.C. Then in 20 years, the king of Judah rebels against Nebuchadnezzar again, and Nebuchadnezzar comes in 586 B.C., and he destroys Jerusalem, and he destroys the temple, and he makes all of the Jews slaves and captives and carries them all back to Babylon. Now go to 1 Chronicles 36:21. To fulfill the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah, until the land had enjoyed her Sabbaths. For as long as she lay desolate, she kept Sabbath to fulfill 70 years. So 70 years they were in captivity. Now turn with me to Daniel 9:1. Y'all all heard of Daniel. Daniel in the lion's den and stuff. And this Daniel's getting old. He's been in captivity most of his entire life. And so it's Daniel 9:1. In the first year of Darius, the son of Ashurveroth, of the seed of the Medes, which was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans, king over the Chaldeans of Babylonians. In the first year of Darius, and Darius was a kind of a sub-king. He was a Media-Persian, but Cyrus was the actual Persian king. And so Darius's first year was 539 B.C. He assumed the rule of Babylon. There was a change of power, caused Daniel to search the scriptures to determine if there was any prophetic significance to the capture of Babylon by the Persians. Daniel 9, verse 2 and 3. In the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by the books the numbers of years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolation of Jerusalem. And I set my face to the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplication with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. So what's happened now? He went into captivity in 606. It's 539. He reads in the scriptures the prophecy. They're supposed to be in captivity for 70 years, and it's 539. That means they're supposed to get out of captivity in 536. It's like you've been in the slammer for 67 years, and you find out, hey, I'm a parole. I'm getting out of here in 3 years. Man, how wonderful. I'm going to get cut loose in 3 years. So Daniel, this is a wonderful thing to Daniel. And so Daniel begins to pray. He goes to God in prayer. in supplication, sackcloth, and everything, as he says. In 536 B.C., the prophecy was fulfilled. 49,897 Jews returned from Babylon to Jerusalem. Zerubbabel returned with 42,360 Jews, Chronicles tells us, 7,337 servants, 200 singers, 736 horses, 245 mules, 435 camels, 6,720 asses, and 5,400 gold and silver vessels. Now turn with me to 2 Chronicles 36, verse 22. Now in the first year of Cyrus, the king of Persia, that the word of the Lord spoken by the mouth of Jeremiah might be accomplished, this is in 536, the exact year they're supposed to be turned loose, Cyrus decrees and said, let them be turned loose. Now, those of you that's on the computers, go home today and Google the Cyrus cylinder. They found 100 years ago the Cyrus cylinder that tells about turning the Jews loose, turning everybody loose, letting them go back to their home country. Now, let's go now to Daniel 9, verse 24. Now, there are several different decrees that are given. This 536 decree. And then there's another decree in 457 B.C. And another king under Nehemiah, when Nehemiah was a prophet in 444 B.C. And so we're going to turn now to Daniel 9, 24. Daniel 9, 24. 70 weeks. You see this word weeks? That's Sabbath year. It means 7 years. 77-year periods are determined upon thy people. 490 years, God says, I'm going to deal with the Jews for 490 years. After that, I'm going to deal with everybody. But until then, I'm going to be dealing with the Jews mainly for 490 years. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city, Jerusalem, to finish transgression. Now, there are three things that we're told that's going to be important things here. To finish transgressions, number one. To make an end of sins. And to make reconciliation for iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness, and to seal up the vision and the prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. Now let's look at that last clause. Anoint, Messiah is the Hebrew word, to Messiah the most holy. Who is the most holy? God. To Messiah, God, to recognize God as the Messiah when he comes. In other words, 490 years is the time given to the Jews. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people, upon thy holy city. And then when this Messiah comes, please note that Daniel emphasizes that the anointed one would address the problems of transgression, sin and iniquity, as if to suggest that the Lord is capable of dealing with evil in all of its hideous forms. Similarly, the prophet Isaiah, in the 53rd chapter of Isaiah of his narrative, reveals that the Messiah would sacrifice himself for transgression, for sin, and for iniquity. And we're going to study that. And Isaiah 53 is frequently quoted in the New Testament in connection with the Lord's atoning work during his first coming. Since Daniel 9:24 quite obviously has the identical mission and identical thrust, it too must focus upon the Savior's work at the cross and not upon Jesus' second coming, as is alleged by most premillennial believers. Everywhere, all over the world today, this prophecy is being taught. And it's being taught wrong most places. Most people tell you, oh, this is about the end of time. This is about the Antichrist and all that stuff. I'm telling you, this has already happened. Daniel 9:24 again. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people, upon thy holy city, to finish transgression. This Christ, when he comes, he's going to finish transgressions for Kelly. He's going to make my transgressions not count to God anymore. He's going to make an end of sins. My sins are over. God does not look at me the way he used to look at me. To make reconciliation for iniquity, he has reconciled me to God. I have now been reconciled to God. And to bring in everlasting righteousness, we'll see where that figures in a minute, to seal up the vision and the prophecy, and to acknowledge as Messiah the Most Holy. What three things? Transgressions. Now, Isaiah 53 is my favorite chapter in the whole Bible. It's a prophecy written 750 years before Christ came. Isaiah 53:5. Now, what did Daniel say? That he would finish the transgressions. Isaiah 53:5. But he was wounded for our transgressions. There he is. He was bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes were healed. Isaiah 53:8. He was taken from prison and from judgment. And who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. Isaiah 53:12. Therefore will I divide with him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he has poured out his soul unto death. He was numbered with the transgressors. There's that finished transgression again. And bare the sins of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. What did Daniel say the Messiah would do again? He'd make an end of sins. In Isaiah 53:10, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, Christ dying on the cross as an offering for sin, he, God, shall see his seed, and that word means child. God will see his child, Jesus, the first begotten son, only begotten son of God. He'll see his child and do what? Prolong his day. Now, if you go back and study that chapter, the Christ is going to be killed in verse 8. He's going to be buried in verse 9. And God's going to prolong his days in verse 10. Isaiah 53, go study that. Isaiah 53:12. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong. Because he has poured out his soul unto death, he was numbered with the transgressors. There it is again. Finish the transgressors. He bare the sins of many and made intercession for the transgressors. Reconciliation for iniquity was another term that Daniel said this Messiah would use. Isaiah 53:5. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. There's iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we were healed. Isaiah 53:6. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid upon him the iniquity. There's iniquity again of us all. Isaiah 53:11. He, God, shall see the travail of his soul and be satisfied. And by his knowledge, God wants us to learn about this, to use our heads, to not have blind faith, but to use our heads. By his knowledge shall our righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. There's that word iniquity again. In addition to the redemptive work of Christ in connection with sin, Daniel said that the Messiah would usher in an era of everlasting righteousness. This is obviously a reference to the gospel of Christ and the Christian dispensation. In the pages of the New Testament, Paul forcefully argues that heaven's plan for accounting man as righteous was made known in this age, in this dispensation, right now. Turn with me to Romans 3:21. We'd like to ask our worldwide radio audience to go to our website at www.mainstreet-churchofchrist.com. Romans 3:21. Now the prophet said he would usher in everlasting righteousness. Romans 3:21. But now the righteousness of God, without the law, without the Old Testament law, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, just like Isaiah witnessed it, Daniel witnessed it, even the righteousness of God, which is by the faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has sent forth to be a propitiation, to buy back, to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, and declare his righteousness to bring in everlasting righteousness, Daniel said, for the remission of sins that are past. My sins are over. I used to drink. I don't drink. My drinking's over. I used to run around. I don't run around. I used to party. My sins are over. I'm over that. I hope you're getting over that. Trying to put that behind you. Put your sins past through the forbearance of God. God forbears. I don't know why he put up with me. I really don't. To declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and a justifier of him that believeth in Jesus. Now, where is this righteousness, this everlasting righteousness that Daniel talked about, where is it found? In Romans 1:16. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. To everyone that believes, to the Jew first, and also the Greek. For therein, in the gospel, is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Let's go back to Daniel now, 9. Verse 25, know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and rebuild Jerusalem unto the Messiah, the Prince. Now I want you to notice something. In this block of scripture, God defines the word Prince. What is the word Prince in this block of scripture? Who? The Messiah. It's real simple English, isn't it? To restore and rebuild Jerusalem unto the Messiah, the Prince, shall be 7 weeks, that's Sabbath years, and 62 Sabbath years. 60 and 2 is 69 Sabbath years. So 69 times 7 is 483 years. God gives us the very year that Christ will come. How could the Jews not be looking? How could they not be looking? How could they have not been ready? I'm going to show you in just a second how the wise men were ready. If you take the commandment to go forth and restore and rebuild a Jerusalem, the one that dealt with the walls and the streets being rebuilt right here, let's look at Daniel 9:25 again. Know therefore and understand that from going forth the commandment to restore and rebuild Jerusalem to the Messiah the Prince shall be 7 Sabbath years, 62 Sabbath years, 69 Sabbath years, and the streets shall be built again, and the walls in troublous times. That commandment was from Ezra, and it was in 457 B.C. And you take 483 years away from that. The Jews should have been there with bells on in 26 A.D. when Jesus showed up to John the Baptist and was baptized in the River Jordan and began his ministry, being about 30 years old, the Bible tells. So here we're given a definition of the word prince in this section. He is the Messiah. So in this block of scripture, when prince is used, it's talking about the Messiah, the prince, not some Roman prince like Titus, nor is it talking about the Pope or some kind of figurative antichrist or some kind of thing like that. So turn with me now to Daniel 9:26. And after the 62 weeks, after the 69 weeks of years, shall Messiah be what? The Old Testament tells us the Messiah is going to be killed. He says he's going to come in 26 A.D. and he's going to be killed. After the 69 weeks of years shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. No, he died for me. I hope he died for you, but I know he died for me. And after that, the people of the prince, now who's the prince? The Messiah. The people of the prince shall come, shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. In 70 A.D., the Romans rebel in 66 A.D. against the Jews, rebel against Rome. And in 70 A.D., the Romans come and destroy Jerusalem. Why would God send the Roman armies to destroy Jerusalem? Oh, they hadn't done much. They'd only killed the Son of God. They killed all the apostles. They killed the first century church. They killed Christians by thousands. What do you mean? Why wouldn't God do that? And God had given them plenty of warning. He told them what to look for. We've studied it for years around here. Y'all know what prophecy teaches. Now in Matthew chapter 24, which deals with the destruction of Jerusalem, Matthew 24 verse 15. When therefore you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, stand around Jerusalem, then let him that be in Judea flee into the mountains. Get out of Dodge. When you see the Roman armies come to Jerusalem, get out of Dodge. There's not one Christian stayed in Jerusalem when the Roman armies came. The Jewish historian Josephus tells us that Titus's army came up to Jerusalem and pull back down the Damascus Highway for 5 miles, set up camp for the night. That night, all the Christians got out of Dodge. They went to Pella. And then the next day, the Romans came and surrounded the city. They brought up 6 legions and surrounded the city, built a fort like a wooden fort around the whole city where nobody could get in and get out. And all the Jews were slaughtered and taken into captivity. God often gets his enemies to pass judgment upon himself. In Matthew 21, verse 37, Jesus speaking to the scribes, the Pharisees, the hypocrites, the doctors of the law, spoke to them and gave them a parable and got them to pass judgment and sentence upon themselves. So the parable was Matthew 21, 37. But last of all, he sent to them his son, saying, they will rever my son. But when the husbandmen saw the son, they said among themselves, this is the heir. Come, let us kill him, and let us seize on his inheritance. And they caught him and cast him out of the vineyard and slew him. When the Lord thereof of the vineyard cometh, what will he do unto those husbandmen? And what do? They pass sentence on themselves. And they, the scribes, the Pharisees, the hypocrites, said unto him, he will miserably destroy those wicked men and let out his vineyard to other husbandmen, which will render him the fruits in their season. Now, what kind of fruits does God want from us? Now, the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and gentleness and meekness, temperance and faith. These are Christian characters that God wants from us. These are the kind of fruits that God wants from us. And the other kind of fruit God wants from us is souls. He wants us to help lead souls to Christ. If you're here this morning and you believe in the gospel of Christ, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, there's absolutely no reason whatsoever for you to be lost. You can just put your faith and trust and confidence in God to save you. Believe the gospel. Repent of your sins. Be sorry for your sins. The Bible says godly sorrow worketh repentance. And come and make confession that you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And finally, be baptized into Christ and have all your sins washed away. If you're here this morning, you need the help of the church or the prayers of the church. Are you ready to become a Christian? Won't you come now while we stand and sing?
I am the one.
coming this morning. Leela, this is Sister Ash's granddaughter, right? Yes. And I know that she is singing in heaven. Sister Ash went to heaven this year, and Leela has come to make confession. Do you believe with all your heart, Leela, that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God?
Yes.
You now want to repent of your sins and confess Christ as Lord. Say, Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus. You go in right over here. We're going to baptize you right away. Glory, stand, please. Face the church. Let the church see. This is Sister Ash's other granddaughter. And Glory, do you believe with all your heart that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God?
I do.
You now want to repent of your sins and confess Christ as Lord.
Yes.
Say, Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
Amen. You go in right over here and we're going to baptize you right away.
All right, amen.
How wonderful. When I baptized Sister Ash and Charlotte together, we had to go out and we rented a pool out, a swimming pool out at a motel, and it was the only place because of the stairs here, they were crippled and they couldn't get up those stairs. And Sister Ash had on a muumuu kind of dress, and when she got in the water, I said, "You're not scared of water, are you, Sister Ash?" And she grabbed me by the coat, she said, by the shirt. She said, "Yes." And this, when I baptized her, this muumuu floated up all around her. I know she is so thrilled. This is 20 years ago. I know she's so thrilled that her children, her grandchildren, are being baptized this morning. Amen.
Based on Leela's confession of faith, I now baptize this repentant believer in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit for the remission of sins. Repentant believer, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Oh.